This is John Eric Bentley, and you're listening to Gaming and Gabbing.
Welcome to Gaming and Gabbing, where video and tabletop gamers unite.
A podcast where we level up with you on our journey to ultimate nerddom. I'm your Wizard of Weird, Dayan Hutton.
And I'm your Rogue of Realness, Amber Plaster.
And let's hit start.
Welcome back to Gaming and Gabbing, guys. We have a very special guest here today from the Final Fantasy VII Remake. We have the one and only John Eric Bentley. He is voicing the character of Barrett in Final Fantasy VII Remake. He has also worked on a ton of other really cool things in gaming and animation, as well as acting. I am so freaking excited to have him here. Day is here too. Day, is this your first time meeting John?
It is. I'm so excited.
Welcome, John.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
It's been a long time coming for this to happen. So it's nice to meet you, Lady D. And Amber.
Thank you.
This is about time, huh?
Here's the thing. We met through our friend Bree.
Breezy!
Our godmother.
Our godmother.
Amber and I's godmother.
Bree introduced Day and I about a year ago, and like we instantly just clicked.
Cool.
And I kind of felt the same way about John, to be honest.
Cool.
Bree tends to be like, you'll like this person, and I go, okay, and then I do. And I'm not easily influenced, you know?
She's not easily.
No, she's not.
She will not just like you because somebody even says it either.
Everyone knows this. Everyone that's listening knows this too, because boy, does Amber love her shame trains, as I have labeled them. She gets on the shame train and she goes to town.
That's funny. That's funny.
So I get excited when I meet an excellent human, and John just has just the best energy, and I just wanted to share that energy with you guys all today. Because he is a fascinating human, and we have so many questions, and I am very excited for this.
Cool. Shoot. Ask away. Let's go. And I'm fascinating?
You are fascinating. Okay. Just accept it. You are fascinating. Ding. Okay, so okay. Let's start with the basics. Let's start way, way back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What very led you into the what? Okay.
What was that, Lady D?
I said a very good place to start.
Yes. There she goes.
Okay. Enough with the.
It wasn't
musical.
A pun. Okay.
This was
it wasn't
a musical
pun.
Theater reference, which was dangerously close to a pun, Dan.
Oh, that's
whatever.
Funny.
Get it together.
Let me have my joys and pleasures of life. It's 2020. Let me have my puns and musicals.
Just let me sing.
Okay, so what, John, what got you into this voice acting and acting in general? Did you always know from a wee lad that you were going to be on this path?
No, I didn't, actually. I knew that I loved sports more than I, you know, knew about the business of acting and everything else as a kid, growing up in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago. And I was an only child. My mom was a teacher. So I thought either I would be an educator or, as she would always say, I want you to be a doctor. And my dad he worked with his hands. He was like a highway transportation worker, or he worked in the steel mill. And, you know, he was just that guy. But my mom, you know, she taught me to read at a very young age. So basically, and I say this to this day, reading is, it opens the door for everything, because you can understand knowledge. You can understand so many different things, and research them, because that's what she did. I would ask questions. I remember, I think I was 3 or 4 years old, and I would ask my mom, I was an inquisitive kid, only child. I would always ask her questions. And then at one point she was like, I taught you how to read, look it up.
There's
a strategy, right. She said, there's a strategy in there. So it's 6, 5, and 6. She was like, I'll help elaborate on some stuff, but you have to show me that
I
you've looked it.
It
up. So
that's
I would,
so good.
We had like 5 dictionaries around the house, 2 sets of encyclopedias. And so, you know, that's how I basically got my education on top of going to school. She taught me how to type, I think at 6 or 7. She's just, you know, just these word flash games, just all these crazy resources that she had as a teacher so that I would be educated going into school. So because of that, I got into Greek mythology, Greek and Roman mythology.
Oh,
and I just thought it was just the bomb, right?
Oh,
and
yeah. I didn't know that. I love Greek mythology.
Big time.
Like God of War, off topic, slightly on topic?
Oh, yeah. Like, I own all of them. You know, back to the old PS. So she taught me how to read, and me reading Greek mythology, I also read comic books. Because they were just fun, and I love superheroes, and, you know, I'm like, oh, man, if I could be Spider-Man, or if I, you know, I love DC, and I loved Marvel. And then, you know, you read a comic book, and I would go, okay, where's the rest? And my mom said, you have to wait until, you know, the next issue comes out. I'm like, well, when is that? I just walked up the street, they didn't have it. Well, you, I can call for you, and, you know, you have to wait. Okay, so then she said, read this, and she handed me a book. It was, you know, all these Greek and Roman mythology tales. And I was like, okay, when's the next one? Because, you know, I'm like, there's got to be another volume, right? She's like, no, that's not how it works, baby. These people are dead. You know, they're just
it's like...
just
like, what? Yeah.
This is
oh,
dead.
Mama. You know?
And I went, what? Oh. So years and years go by of me just reading everything I could as far as Greek mythology and fairy tales and Grimm's fairy tales. And, you know, I'm like, how do I find more? This is just cool, you know, fantasy stuff. And, you know, Star Wars came out. And then I found out, oh, comic books, you can get a trade paperback. You can get all of those volumes in one. So that's how I started doing it in college, because I'm like, I'm not waiting a week or a month to read the next issue. And then as far as Greek mythology goes, I found out, well, there's Greek mythology, there's Norse mythology, there's Roman mythology, there's African mythology. As a matter of fact, in the region of Africa, there's different regions of mythology. And so there's Irish mythology. So I'm like, oh, my gosh,
Egyptian.
Campbell.
Yeah.
Yes. So Campbell wrote these three volumes of different mythology from different cultures. So I was like, this is great. I can read for the rest of my life, you know, but... Because I could read, I was that one kid in class who could memorize stuff. And anytime we had a performance, they were like, hey, John, I got this for you. Do this on stage. I'm like, okay. I was shy. I was a real shy guy and wore thick glasses, right? So I was that black
Why
nerd.
Why were you shy?
Because I was the only child. I went to school on the west side of Chicago, which was... anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, 25 minutes drive from going to the south side. My mom taught her school down the street, and she taught middle school. So they were older than me, and I was a kid. I'm talking about 5 years old in kindergarten, you know?
Yeah.
And then at one point, I think I was 7 or 8, she was like, okay, I need you, instead of me coming to pick you up from school, I need you to walk from your school the 4 blocks to my school when you're done, because you get out early now. It's the west side of Chicago, and I would have to walk through a gang-infested area. Hopefully, the guys wouldn't be out of school from the public schools, because I went to a private school. And if the public school guys were out, they would look for us to try to fight us just because we had on, you know, our uniforms.
You had the targets on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big time. And, you know, certain areas.
You can't wear a uniform in the hood.
But you had to. You had to, because that was the school.
You know?
St. Agatha.
Just asking for it.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, and that was in the 70s, man. So it was crazy because there was, you know, drug paraphernalia was out. Back then, it was like all kind of pornographic magazines, and they were just left on the street if someone had bought. So it was a rough area. As a matter of fact, that area was the area where, when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated years prior to, all of the looting, I shouldn't say looting, but the burning and a lot of the things that were happening were in that neighborhood on that strip of block on the west side of Chicago. So I had to basically walk through stuff that was already boarded up. People were, if they were homeless, they would live in there. So I grew up quick. And then that's the west side, and having to do that every day up other than the weekends. Then come back home to the south side, which was just rough. It was just, you know, it was a different kind of hood, but it was rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being an only child, I found great friends when I was growing up, but I remember someone said, "Hey, man, how are you so fast?" Because we were playing baseball or something. And I said, "Because I get chased every other day by either stray dogs or gang members trying to, you know, say, hey, man, you need to join the disciples. Or, hey, man, you need to join." And I was like, "Nah, you know, I can't. You know, my mom will kill me."
Bye.
I was more afraid of my mom than I was of gang members, but I was fast. So, yeah. But I think I was faster because of damn dogs. The dogs, man, they ran in packs. So,
dogs are fast.
Yeah. Oh, it is one damn dog named Isaac. Woo! Hated that dog. Biggest terrier I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God. A big terrier.
He was big.
Those are yappy, too.
He would get out of the yard and just choose somebody to chase. And I swear, there are times where there would be a bunch of us either walking or in the back. Well, we didn't have a backyard. We played in the alley. So that's where we, you know, play basketball,
obviously,
football,
right.
You know, uh-huh. And this like dog would get out and he would chase only me. Wouldn't chase anybody else. Be a bunch of folks out there. He'd chase me. And
dogs
I'll never
can smell
forget
fear.
That.
So.
Oh, I was afraid of him because he looked like a wolf. They never cut him, you know, so he looked like this big shaggy wolf. And because my mom taught me how to read, the damn Hounds of Baskerville was in my mind. You know, so I'm like, Sherlock Holmes couldn't even beat this thing. So I was wrong, you know. So, you know, there's insight on me.
Oh,
so I started acting at a very young age because they put me on stage and said, "Hey, can you read the I Have a Dream speech?" And I'm like, "Sure, I can read it." And my mom said, "No, you're going to memorize it." And I'm like, "What?" So I memorized it. And for my kindergarten graduation, I recited the speech. And everybody lost it, you know, like. The older people who came,
gosh.
The grandmas who came, they cried. And the adults were just like, "Oh." And I went, "Whoa, me just saying that speech made everybody react that way." And it was cool because people were happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can make people happy, but just by saying something. And that made me go, "This cool." And the real cool thing was, because I was shy, was that they couldn't break that fourth wall.
Right.
So they couldn't rush to the stage, although some people did afterwards just to say thank you. And I didn't know that. Yeah, I was like, "Okay, no problem." Backing up. but that's when I got, I guess, the bug.
Sure.
And I really didn't do much of it after that until I got to high school and did public speaking or duet acting or rhetoric or like a weird debate kind of thing.
Sure.
And then I got to college thinking, "Hey, this is something I could probably do." And they were like, no, you got a scholarship in football. You're not allowed to do that. And I went, "Why?" One, you don't have time. And then two, you can't get paid, or really your image wasn't allowed to be out there because you represented the University of whatever you were. I was at University of Minnesota as an athlete. So it was against NCAA rules to have a job or be paid for doing it or anything like that. So I was 17 when I was recruited. So I was 17 playing
recruited
football.
Recruited for football?
Football.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So it was a whole different, you know.
So you had to put acting on hold for a minute.
Oh, for a long time.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I wanted to do it then either.
Wait, you're too tall to play football. He's like 100 feet tall.
No,
100
I'm not.
Feet tall?
I'm
6'4". A whole 100?
I'm 6'4". I'm 6'4".
How do they not just knock you over?
Because I was strong. I was a receiver.
He's fast.
I was fast, exactly. I wouldn't let anybody catch me.
He's fast.
I was fast.
I love this. I'm going to call it your origin story since it was all these comics. I love your origin story.
Oh, yes.
I was also a very shy bookworm, 100%. But I loved reading.
Yeah, because you found yourself through reading, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was also reading like super young and everyone thought it was weird because I like was reading like three levels above our grade and
mm-hmm.
they were like, "What?"
Mm-hmm. Try being in the hood and do that.
Yeah.
And then try being in the hood and black and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
so it was
well,
different.
I have a question.
Origin story.
Because my younger brothers hate reading. How do you make little boys want to read? Because I've never heard of many little boys
how
enjoying reading, just like I've never heard of many little girls enjoying math, which
how
I know is obviously
they?
A toxic stereotype, but I'm just saying.
No. How old are they?
They're older now, but they didn't like to read when they were younger, and they don't like to read now.
Well, here's the deal.
I'm just wondering, what could I have done?
Well,
I tried.
It's not, you know what? It's not on you, though. It's on, I hate to say it, it's on parents. So My mom and dad
have those. So
my mom and dad basically read to me a lot, Amber. You know what I mean? As a kid. And they would read to me these favorite books, some of which are books that you probably were read to, Dr. Seuss and The Giving Tree and The Hungry Caterpillar. Those little basic books are still around for a reason. And the coloring of them and the pictures of them. And if you present it the right way, which I guess is a form of acting for a parent or whoever's reading, a narrator, that intrigued me. I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. I want to be able to read it. And then I'll read it like how I want to read it. You know, especially when you find stuff that goes back to Shakespeare, iambic pentameter, rhyme, and, you know, when you have books that rhyme, then you go, oh, that's cool. It has a rhythm to it. So the kids go, yeah, and this one, they can tell you what the pictures are because of how they've been read. And then all of a sudden you go, man, if I learn how to read, I'll be able to read this, and I like that, so I'm going to read this, which is where the comics came in, D. And it was like, I don't like Green Lantern, DC. I like Batman and Superman.
Right, but does anybody like Green Lantern?
Ryan Reynolds kind of jacked
it up. I'm asking. Okay.
But I'm just saying, you know, so encouraging them by reading to them is one thing, and then find out what they want to read about.
Yeah.
Comic books is a gateway to opening up a kid's mind to go, ooh, and now they made movies about them? There's a movie about Wolverine. Now you can't show a kid Logan, because they'll be terrorized, you know. But you know, so it's certain things you go, yeah, that's that guy who I read to you about. Really? Yeah, you should read his books. He's got a lot of them. It's those little things. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I feel like there's also like, there's children, like you said, you ask a lot of questions where there's like this innate curiosity and just this like want or need to know more.
Yeah.
And like, I feel most kids have that in some sense, but I like what you're saying about, you know, comics, like it's mostly picture, but you kind of like almost trick into reading with comics.
And here's another deal on that. This is going to sound harsh, especially to a lot of folks that are in this generation, of this generation. You got to pull the damn cell phone away from them. Because just like you said, you tell someone to go look something up, it's a push of the button as opposed to let me walk all the way to the living room and grab an encyclopedia or find a dictionary. They just push a button on their phone or they go, hey, Siri, or hey, tell me, and, you know, and they get all the information. So find ways to make them work.
I think that's valid to be able to Google things because that's not going to change and it's not going to get any slower. It's only gonna get faster.
It's not, but it's too easy for them to take the steps to find out what they like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're gonna be presented it anyway, whatever it may be. But if you then say, hey, you know what? I know you just asked Google to look that up for you, but check this out. Why don't you ask them to tell you the different volumes? Like, perfect example. I got four boys. Two of them are a lot like me as far as education goes or as far as their inquisitiveness.
Sure.
So one is like, oh, just look it up. I'm like, sure, but look it up. But how about this? Did you know that that particular writer, and it's a James Patterson book called Angel. Well, it's all based off of these kids who were being experimented on, and now they have wings, right? So Angel, the very first one who was created, she is the bomb. You know what I mean? She's like basically Captain Marvel with wings, but a kid. So it's really cool. Well, guess what? Hey, look up this author, and you'll find out all the other books that are attached to it, like Fang, like, you know, all these different books that are within that volume. And guess what? They also have them as a young reader's choice, and that's a different adventure. So when you make it like that, you make it intriguing for them. You make it like adventurous, especially for boys.
Yeah.
And then now for girls.
The best answer I ever got with them was like, well, I like the action ones. And I'm like, okay.
There you go. And there's a lot of them out there. And here's another deal. This is going to trip you out. Even though they may not be reading, which to me exercises the brain, exercises memory, all that other stuff, exercises the eyes, everything else, they can listen to the audiobook. And then all of a sudden you go, hey, look. they didn't make an audiobook for that one. You should read it. Oh, okay.
Okay. I've done that. The sneaky, there's no more audiobook trick. Okay.
Seriously, Foxcraft.
Now we're speaking my language.
Foxcraft is one of the best books I've ever, my son said, hey dad, there's this really good book called Foxcraft. I'm like, all right, well, let's listen to it together on this ride from Minnesota to California. Sure.
Love an audiobook in the car. Love an audiobook in the car.
Yep. Well, guess what? Volume 3 was never done voiceover. So he's like, can you get me volume 3? I'm like, man, I will pull over to the road and find a Barnes & Nobles, which are hard to find now, and get you the book. And you can read it if you want, and, you know, since we can't find the audiobook. Little things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you could do it with, like, the audiobook's not good. Like, I want to read the Percy Jackson books, and I'll listen to them while I work out. Mm. And they have Percy Jackson on audiobook, but I started listening, and I was like, no, it's not good.
You know what is good, and you're so right, because I listened to it. I'm like, man, it's like part 2 was so dark, you couldn't see it, right? It was filmed in darkness almost. It's like, that's how the audiobooks are for Percy Jackson. She's like, wait a minute. What about this character? That's not how I pictured this character to be. Mm. And
it really makes or breaks an audiobook.
Oh, Harry Potter series and the
Which
Spider
version?
All of them. Audiobooks.
Yeah. No, but there's two. There's Stephen Fry does it. And then the better one, whose name I, of course, can't forget.
I don't think
right
he's alive anymore, actually. He did all the voices. I can't remember his name.
Jim Dale.
Yes.
Jim Dale.
Oh, my God.
He's so good.
Hey,
he's so good.
One of the best series. I know we're nerding out on you, Amber. You gotta give us a minute. He is the bomb diggity. I've never heard an audiobook where every character was different. They weren't even similar in his timbre. It was just like, how is this cool? Oh, my God. So I was excited about that. And Spiderwick Chronicles.
Ooh, okay.
And guess who's doing that?
You? Oh, I was like, you? Is it you?
Luke. I'm telling you, man, Mark Hamill is one of the baddest dudes in the world. Baddest
That's
readers,
amazing.
Baddest voiceover artist. He does all the voices, and I can't remember which volumes of the Spiderwick Chronicle. And like Tim, what's his name from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh, Tim Curry.
Oh my God, I adore Tim Curry.
You listen to stuff like that, and you just go, oh my gosh. There's a guy out now who I don't care what story it is. It could be a horror. I literally just finished listening to the whole thing, and this book was not a strong book at all. It was long. It was like 66 chapters. I'm like, this is supposed to be a murder mystery. They're not supposed to be that long. But Scott Brick read it. I listened to everything. Because Scott Brick read it. You know how people talk about Morgan Freeman? I could listen to him read a phone book. I can listen to Scott Brick read a phone book backwards. Oh, he's incredible. He's incredible.
So I just switched from Audible to Libro FM. And I'm obsessed with them.
You got to send me the link because
I will.
For me,
I will,
Audible is cool, but I was like, I don't want to pay money, you know?
Well, I pay this one, and it's the same amount as Audible, but instead of, you can like choose a local bookstore, and your money will go to them instead.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
No. So
yeah.
I went, remember my era, I'm a library dude. So
yeah.
I went to the library, and you're like, yeah. Well, if you have this particular app, you can as long as you have a library card, you can download anything you want. Well, guess what? The library doesn't have a lot of the volumes of things that
they
I
don't
want,
have
especially
hardly
new stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They do have a lot of the genres that I like, a lot of the mysteries, James Patterson, Kellerman.
James Patterson's great.
All these different books, right? So I just, every book that I've been listening to as of late, it's just downloaded, you know, from the audio, from the audio
library.
Files from the library.
Nice.
And that's it. So it's free, and you know, I listen to audiobooks to go to sleep sometimes.
Yeah, I'll send you this because they sent me an influencer. They have like an influencer thing, and they give me 6 free books a month.
Wow!
And if I can get it, you can get it.
Man, I would do that in a heartbeat. Because my
great.
Wife listens to Audible, So,
they
but
have
she's
a whole
got the
selection.
Account. Yeah, I need yeah. to. I need to.
They have a whole like one those like one young adult book a month and like a mystery and a biography and like they have a whole spread.
Oh yeah, oh. I got it. I got you. Got to send it to me.
Hook it up.
So
today.
Amber, I'm sorry. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you more than answered my question, which is exactly what I expected. Thank you. Next question and subject change. Thank you. Have you played the original Final Fantasy?
Oh yeah. I played it a little bit with Bree.
That's right. You played through the older one. Yeah.
But and you got to know that I played it when I was a kid. You know, I got through it once and then tried to finish it again and didn't get through it. Like sports hit. You know, I was like, okay, because I played like a lot of sports coming up as a kid.
It's hard to play. There's too many games, man.
We have found with the people we interview, like half of voice actors are like, no, I don't play games.
Oh, I do.
So it's like, it's always nice to know who
How can
is
you
a
not know your genre? That's your thing, you know? It's like, no, I was an only child too, though. You got to remember. That's true. I grew up on.
Same. We don't have
Atari.
You know, so I grew up on that. And, you know, video games was like my thing. It wasn't an addiction. Well, I guess what my mom would say it was. But, you know, I just love video games.
But now, who's laughing?
True.
Because now you're getting paid to know about video games.
Very true.
So now, what addiction?
I have to be cautious because I think there's, that I just counted in the living room, there's three PlayStations in the house. I don't know which numbers they are, the two, three, or four, because I've had them and my son loves to get things and fix them, one of my sons. So there's an Xbox One and I think different PSs all throughout the house. I'm like, man, we need to give those away to somebody, dude. And he's like, no, I'm going to fix them and I'm going to sell them and put them on OfferUp. I'm like, okay, go do your thing, baby. You make your money.
Okay.
But I have to be cautious because my wife is like, you will not be playing video games the whole time. As much as I want to and as much as I want that to be my pastime when
self-care?
I have that time. It is, but I got a lot of other things that as a dad and as a husband, just don't have that time.
So right, I'm curious, what are the age range of your boys? You said you're
now 20. I'm sorry, 21, 20, 18, and 17. And my 21-year-old will be 22 on the 10th, and my 18-year-old will be 19th on the 25th.
Okay. Did they all get along growing up, being close in age, or was it fighting?
Growing up or now? Did that answer your question?
Yes, that answers my question.
My second son, who does voiceover too, he just got finished doing this really cool project.
That's so cool.
For this, I'm not sure if I can plug him, but
yeah, can you say it?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it because it's his project. But it's Noir Caesar is a black anime company, and they are. You just don't hear of that. There's no anime that's... Yeah. And,
can we
the guy
share
who
that
start-
on the podcast? Or is that embargoed? Okay, cool.
Johnny is the cat who started. Johnny was an NBA player who grew up with anime and said, hey, man, nobody looks like me in this. Mm-hmm. Nobody sounds like me. So with his NBA career and his professional basketball career, he has now created Noir Caesar. And they got some unbelievable manga and stuff, projects that are coming out that are just like, oh my god. So I asked him after looking it up, like, I just want, how can I help?
Yeah,
how can I be a part of what you do?
Hell yeah.
And so I'm working on a character. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it yet, but my son Noah is working on a character. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about, but I can talk about the company. The company is out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So check out what they have coming and what they do.
Noir Caesar.
Phenomenal artists, phenomenal storyboards, phenomenal sketch artists, phenomenal content, phenomenal writers. And it's all birthed out of, hey man, I just want other people who I know are watching the Dragon Ball Zs or the Narutos, or they go, wait, what about us? You know? And so it's, what they're doing is pretty amazing.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Amazing. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I'm going to look that up because I just recently started getting into anime myself. So I'm like, ooh, what is this new world?
Yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand with what we do with video games and comic books, you know. Nerding out. People laugh at me because I was that black nerd in the neighborhood with the thick glasses. Next question. I'm sorry. Did I answer that one?
You did.
Yeah, you played the original Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play more than that? Did you play other Final Fantasy games?
No. So Final Fantasy VII, the original, was the first game that I played. There was an RPG that got me to even like the genre of RPG. Because I'm like, what is RPG? That led on to Wild Arms. That led on to Zelda. That, you know, all these different games. And I'm like, I would have never known about it because, like, the same thing with Johnny. Nobody looked like me. Everybody had this crazy hair. And, you know, I was just like, but this was the first.
I don't know who has their hair.
Exactly. And so I was like, and, you know, back then, no one talked. It was just side-scrolling. Yeah. But I love that because I was a reader. But for me, it was just like, I played and I saw Barrett. I'm like, here's a brother who's gotten a gun for an arm, which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
You know? But,
and I love it.
Right? And he doesn't die.
No.
It's so nice.
You know, because there's so many movies and so many forms of entertainment, the black character, regardless of his male or female, they die. Or they're the bad person back in the day. You know, and that's basically
I remember watching the first season of The Walking Dead and seeing the, I forget the name of the black guy, but I was like, oh, he's going to die.
Yeah, it's, you immediately think it.
Because they made him super likable, and then like
right.
a few episodes in, a zombie got him, and I was like, cool.
I'll never forget when I first got here. I'm going to tell you this story. When I first got here to Hollywood, and someone, Tommy Ford, who used to be on Martin, who has now since passed, is great guy. He literally said, hey, John, I want to take you under my wing. I want you to just, we met doing some kind of thing. Doing the show, I did Martin. And Tommy was like, man, I want to introduce you to such and such. And I want you to do this. I'm like, cool. So he took me, my wife, and my father-in-law at the time to a church where they were doing this award ceremony and just helping kids. And I'm like, this is us. So I'm 26 years old. And the dude who was in Friday the 13th walks in, the little brother. And I'm like, oh, nobody else reacted like me. And I'm going, do you not realize this is the first black man in a horror film that survived? And his lines were like, let's go kick the mother all over dreamland. You know, just.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting next to him and I'm just like, yo, man, you don't even understand. Can I touch your shoulder? Are you real? You know, and so he's laughing at me and he's like, John, it's not that big a deal. I'm like, yes, it is. You're the first black man that survived in a major motion picture that's a horror film that's
where people like, are supposed to die.
It's Freddy Krueger. You know, you the first one, you're gonna go down that hallway and look for some, and you survived to the next movie. Now, he didn't survive in the next movie.
That's okay.
But it's okay. He made it two movies. So I'm like, this is great. So it's stuff like that that makes me go, ooh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's projects like that that make me go, ooh, I don't have to be what you think the stereotype is. I don't have to play the stereotype to be this. That's why when we did Barrett, I wanted to make sure that since I was giving him a voice for the remake, I didn't want him to have the same tone or the same conception of being a caricature of what the original Barrett was without the Japanese at the time who translated, who did the how they thought black people acted or talked or, you know, this big, angry black man who's a brute. I didn't want that. So I wanted him to have these different, and the writers, the translators, they're just incredible, right? So the writers set it up so it wasn't like that, which is great. And it wasn't even a PC thing. It was just like, no. This is what the translation is. So I'm like, this is beautiful. And it was like, I want him to have layers. I want him to be a father. I want him to be a leader. I want him to be a rebel. I want him to be a soldier. I want him to be a strong man. But I don't want him to be some big, angry, muscular brute that the world seems to think that you are. If you're not an athlete, then you're this. If you're not that, then you're that. Everybody wants to put cultures in boxes, and that's just not me. So I wanted to present him as not a caricature, but a character who has many different facets, you know. And I think for the majority of the comments that I've seen and received, a lot of people, you know, because when the first trailers came out, he did seem that way. Because they were trailers. They were clips off of him giving the speech in the elevator or him yelling as they go into a battle of battle cries. It's different things like that. But for the most part, most of the people who got to play the game and experience the game, the whole game, they went, wait a minute. This dude's emotion, his emotional journey started off here. His physical journey started off here. And his spiritual journey started off here. He took us on a journey, so there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And not really an end, because we know there's,
you know. More.
And so, you know, so that's what I wanted people to understand, that just because you're of a certain culture doesn't mean that you're a stereotype and that you have to play or fit in that that box that people want to put you in, especially if it's a negative one. Mm-hmm. So.
There were definitely so many, like, tender moments with Marlene and everything.
There had to be.
Yeah. And I came, both of us, actually, like, we never played Final Fantasy, the original. I missed it. I was reading all the books.
You were a baby. Both of y'all were babies. It's all good.
And, okay, Amber, this embarrasses her about me, but, like, I played a lot of educational video games as a kid. Oh, yeah.
ABC Mouse, all that stuff.
Like Learning Center and Jumpstart.
Oh, I'm
and,
in
like,
those too.
All of those.
I did play them. I'm in a couple of them.
Oh, wait,
Oregon Trail.
What? You were not in Oregon Trail. That's not even have voices.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
What? They made another one, I think.
It what? Was like a...
Yeah. Yeah.
We and have to play it.
Oregon Trail.
And then ABC Mouse. I just started doing work for them last year. So there's a couple things there. I play a wizard, and they have this new interactive one. There's a lot of stuff. I couldn't remember the names of most of them, but yeah, I love
them. John is out here educating. He's out here entertaining.
Remember, my mom was an educator, that was my first mindset. How can I help kids? How can I help the babies? You know, talk about learning to read and learning to understand concepts of cognitiveness. You know, how do you do it? So any way I can. Everything I do pretty much is to benefit someone else. Like, people are like, well, you got to be doing this because you love it. Yes, I do love it. But working allows my wife and my kids to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's never been, and I don't know, I'm just built this way. It's never been about me. I can't stand my people. It's just not me. And so everything that I do is to help someone else. And in doing so, if I'm able to then reach other people who need help, it's a great thing. That's why, you know, Amber, we're talking about, you know, what genre am I on social media? You know, Twitter is a cool thing because there are people who are hurting. And some of them reach out to me and, you know, the little DMs and private conversations. And I'm like, yo, let's talk about that. How do you deal with that? And, you know, and I've put it out there even on my Twitter account where I've dealt with depression. So I understand what you're dealing with. I was a only child gamer. I know that that's your world, that box. You're safe there. You know, let's talk about that. So however I can help people, I try to do it the best way, you know, I can.
I love that. We're both big, like, mental health awareness advocate kind of people. So I love that there are more people being like, yeah, I get depressed sometimes. It's normal. Want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Like, I love that.
We
so
need
much.
It because we don't know if we're going to see him the next day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's depression's no joke, and it's hitting us at much different ages now than it was when I was coming up. Mm-hmm. And the suicide rate is a beast, and in specific areas, it's even worse because of maybe the weather or in specific homes where people eat certain things or they're just not aware of it. So, like, how do we speak life into people? You know what I mean? If you've been given a platform, don't abuse the platform for yourself. Take the platform and use it to sow back into the world, because what I've been taught is that love overcomes a multitude of sins. And a good word, man, you can cheer someone up with a good word. They said anxiety makes a man's heart heavy, but a good word will cheer them up. Well, if I can be that good word, or that friendly gesture and a smile to get you through the next moment or the next day or the next hour, then by all means, I'm going to do the best I can at it. Now, I'm not saying you got to do that all the time, because there's some people that will take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some people who will, you know, abuse you from it. So you have to have enough discernment to do it. But I know that's just something I've been called to do. And if I've got this platform, then I'm not going to use this platform for, you know, selfish, filthy money or notoriety or popularity. I'm going to use it to try to help somebody.
Absolutely.
John, you're just a gem. You're just a gem. And we love it. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite? What are some of your favorite things that you've worked on?
Ooh. Resident Evil.
I'm sure they're different based off of like, oh, this was a really fun character, or like this made me like open to a whole new genre of people and fans, or like,
yeah,
this was just it wasn't like a good project, but I just had a lot of fun working on it, and like I was working with my friends. Like, there's all different kinds of good, you know.
Yeah, there's all, yeah. So Resident Evil, I got to work with Mila.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I've never met a star, much less a model who was a star. Mm-hmm. Who cared for people that much. And she, I'll never forget, we were in 110, 120 degree weather in Mexico filming this one scene in a hot tent on set. There's no, you're in the desert, basically. And all the background were zombies outside of the fence trying to get in. And they had on masks and heavy clothing. She went out, there was cold water, and they were just giving it to people who were within this little small area. She had the people fill a box. She filled a box up of water, and she walked out there, and she took it to every one of them that she could. Aww. And I went, that's how I want to be. If I ever get to that level,
that's a leader.
That's how I want to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a leader, literally. And then she would film all day and then come home and train.
Ooh.
And, yeah, she would do all of her fight coordinations and train. And I'm like, this is I've never met anybody with a work ethic like this. So it's an athlete's mindset, but this model, this beautiful, super strong model who's doing this, come to find out she was pregnant during it. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. So that experience
taught me. I'm tired for her.
Oh, yeah. She's a bum. And then I did a show called In the House with LL Cool J. LL's one of the coolest dudes. And I remember during the time,
so he's appropriately named.
Uh-huh. That's
his name is Lance.
LL Cool J. He's very cool.
He's cool too. But I remember him doing the show, and years later, he basically transformed his body. I'm like, this dude is Diesel. So how do I do
good
that?
For him.
So I'm in this process now of trying to get back in shape.
Oh, you know,
at 51.
Okay.
So I've gone from 246 to 217 as of yesterday.
Let us know. Yes.
I'm working on it. I'm sure you'll see pictures if we ever get back.
I hope so.
But doing that show, John Amos, who was James in Good Times, I was doing the show, and he gave me advice that I live on. He said, John, I know you're getting frustrated with doing the whole sitcom thing. And it was in the very beginning. I had just come back from Minnesota doing plays, was just on point, you know, just wanting to work and, you know, anxious. You're a rookie, basically. He said, I know you really want to do this thing. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, your job is to make the lead look good. And I went, what do you mean? He said, regardless of how you feel about anybody else around you or even the lead, your job is to make the lead look good. And I went,
make him look funnier, make him look better looking,
everything.
Make him look smarter,
make him look like
easier, everything.
Literally.
Yeah.
And he said, and if you do that, you'll have longevity in this business.
Yeah.
So just last winter, we did a remount of Good Time, and someone asked me if I would understudy the characters just in case they weren't able to go on. One of the characters was his role in Good Times, who was played by I can't remember his name right now. Courtney Vance, I think. Was it Courtney Vance? Maybe it wasn't Courtney. I can't remember who it was. But John was doing a role. He was playing a guest star character, and they had me understudy both of them.
Aww.
And I just...
Full circle
moment. Oh, yeah. And I told him again, because I had seen him before and several other things. He was like, and you're still here. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so it's, you know, stuff like that. And then being on the set to meet Patti LaBelle, and then Jamie Foxx was there, and I did Jamie Foxx's show a while ago. He's like, I remember you. I was like, I'm glad. You know, and then I finally got to meet Anthony Anderson and all these just great folks who were influences for me in my career. And Jay Farrow, oh my God, what a great guy.
Oh my God, Jay Farrow is so talented.
People ask me to voice match. Oh, yes. People ask me to voice match, and before I go to the actual person, I go to see if Jay Farrell did their voices. And I can pick it up from Jay and Jamie, actually, sometimes better than I can from when I listen to the actual person they're asking me to voice match. So you're talking about just...
Who do you normally voice match?
Sam Jackson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Who else have I done? I used to do Bernie Mac when he was alive, bless his heart. Terrence Howard. Done him a few times. Can't remember who else.
Well,
they always ask me to do Idris and James Earl Jones, and they're hard to do. Denzel's the hardest to get.
Really?
Know. Oh, yeah. He's hard.
Someone,
he's got
there's
this...
some comedian who does a good Denzel.
Jay Farrell. Jay Farrell.
It probably was Jay Farrell.
Nobody does Denzel.
He does
like
something
him.
Like this with his head.
Yeah.
He like shakes it
talks
when he talks.
Like this, you know? Yeah. And he does his mouth and his teeth like Denzel. It's really cool.
Oh, that's so
it's really
weird.
Cool.
Okay,
so,
now how do you feel making those voices?
How do I feel?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. It depends on what the job is. You know, always, because at first, when I first started doing them, I'm like, why doesn't the original actor do them? And they're like, one, we can't afford them. And I was like, oh. And then two, and it's not, and one guy told me, it's not that we haven't asked them, John. It's that we can't afford the price that he quoted us at. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Well, so to me, Samuel Jackson, that's one dude I want to meet so bad. Because he's just the coolest dude I've ever seen. Man, Samuel Jackson came through at a point where he was like, everything I do, I'm going to do it so good that you're going to want to hire me for more. And he's the one who taught me that it's about longevity, not about one project to the next. It's about longevity. How do you make yourself relevant? And he has. But his voice sounds just like one of my uncles. So to me, it's like being in the living room when my dad and my uncles are all sitting around watching a game. So when you do Sam, it's, you know, I am Iron Man. You think you're the only superhero in town, Stark? You know, so it's like listening to my uncle, and I'm like, oh, I can imitate my uncle, but here's Sam Jackson, you know. So it's like.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Where is my super suit? You know, stuff like that. It's just funny. I've heard my uncle, honey, where is my JB? It's not in the liquor cabinet. You know, so it's just funny. It's just funny that my Uncle Shannon sounded like him.
That's amazing. I love that. I think Bree was the one who was like, yeah, he does like a lot of the voice that like Samuel L. Jackson doesn't do.
Sam's
basically.
Working all the time. Thank
he's
God
working
he's working
all
the
time. Yeah.
Man, it's working. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'll do Frozone. Sure, I'll do Nick Fury. A lot of the people that I admire extremely, Denzel was one of them. I met Denzel during a time. Truth be told, when I was about to quit acting, I was like, I'm done with this. This is crazy. Living out here and trying to raise a family of six, and this is nuts. This is it. And my agent said, hey, you have an audition. You should go in and do it. I'm like, I'm good. Well, Debbie Allen might be directing it. Debbie Allen is the producer. I'm like, what show is it? That's the name of it. Denzel's going to be directing. And I knew that Denzel had also gotten a contract to do August Wilson pieces. Well, I come from the theater where August Wilson basically got his start, the Penumbra Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota, who Lou Bellamy ran it. Now Sarah, his daughter, runs it.
Aww.
Where I met unbelievable actors like, man, I kind of tear up because he was a mentor. Abdul El Salam Razak, James Williams, Lester Purry. Who else was there? Gavin. They would know him as Omari Shakir, but it's Gavin Lawrence. Terry Bellamy, you know, all these, James Craven. These guys are just monumental in my life growing up.
Yeah.
Dennis Spears, Michael Rambo, all these guys. So I was like, well, I get to meet Denzel. And they're like, oh, well, we don't know if he's going to be there or not. I'm like, well, I'll go. I didn't care.
You got to try. Like, oh, I'll go.
But maybe I wasn't excited.
Maybe
I was
your like, name will be next to Denzel on IMDb. Maybe that's all you'll get. Listen. Man,
the influence that he had on Chadwick and vice versa was incredible. So I was like, all right. So went there, and sure enough, Denzel's there. He's like, man, just drop the paper. Let's just talk to me. And he said, now let's talk, do the character. And he just reminded me of why I decided I wanted to act. And he was the main reason, because he's the bomb. And how we did the exercise to get to developing the character, didn't get the job, but it didn't matter. It made me not quit the business. And I know it was a God opportune moment. There's no such thing as coincidence for me when it comes to God. And I know it was a God opportune moment because it stopped me from leaving. And therefore, we're still here. I'm still able to take care of my family. I didn't have to uproot anybody. We got Barrett, you know, all these different things, you know. So it's a cool thing to full circle.
That's awesome. And you growing up in Chicago, like there's so much theater there. So that must have been awesome for you.
You got to remember, though, I left at 17.
Okay, you left at 17. Okay, mm-hmm. Wasn't sure when you left.
Well, yeah, you got the good. I saw plays. I saw incredible performers there. But I left at 17 to go to the University of Minnesota to play ball.
That's right.
Went there for 5 years and then left there. Wound up getting another scholarship to get my master's in theater. Got my master's for 3 years and said, hey, let's see what it's like in New York. New York was cool. I didn't like it because it felt too much like Chicago, everybody living on top of one another. And so... I thought that was my fan on my computer. And said, hey, let's see what it's like in California. Had just gotten married, literally. Just gotten married in February or January. We came out, I think, in July and said, let's see what it's like on a 13-day round-trip ticket. Wound up booking a show. Salam El Razak did it. Got booked on my very first show, Sister Sister. And then In the House, and that was all through Monica Swan, who's no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, out of all the letters I sent out before I came out, I think 300 of them, 200 of them, one person responded. It was Monica Swan, and she just so happened to be the casting director that did all those shows in the 90s, the black shows. And she said, come on in, I'd like to meet you. We sat for 3 hours just talking.
Oh, my God. And, that's so great.
So the way it's happened for me, there's no doubt that it's not me, my control. It's God. He kind of directed this whole thing. All my peers, it hasn't happened this way. Amber, what other questions? I'm sorry.
I got questions. What's it like being such an iconic character in such an iconic game? Or iconic weird characters?
Weird. It's weird. I think my sons benefit out of it more. I remember walking down the street one day, or we were at Target or something, and they're like, heard somebody say, hey, there's such and such, or Barrett or something. I don't remember what it was. I think it was something from Tiger and Bunny. That's the dude that does Fire Emblem. Like,
the Fire Emblem things are real.
And my son's like, yeah, that's him. That's him right there.
That's him.
Like, some people are made to be celebrities. People say that, but I'm not. I'm just a dude who's just like everybody else who just has been fortunate enough to get to do jobs that, one, I love, and the two that y'all love. You know what I mean? So it's weird.
Okay, if you could play any other character in Final Fantasy VII Remake, who would it be and why Red. Is it Aerith?
Red. Red. I knew you were going to say something at the end. Red.
Red?
I love Red. He's one of my favorite characters.
Why?
Nanaki is just the bomb. There's something about him that's so mysterious and cool and... This is how I equate it. If you look at him, if you know his backstory, he's no different from the Native American in our country, the black man who was brought over from slavery and experimented upon. He's no different from most of the folks in our country who are minorities who have been mistreated but survived. And there's wisdom in it. There's in his tone, his voice, his stature, his abilities. There's a grit that he has. He's just an iconic character. He's cool as hell. The way he looks is just cool. He's wart battered. You know, he's just something about that character is just, you know, he reminds me of like Geronimo or, you know, just Sitting Bull. He's that that guy, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So I like
I feel, you know? Because I never played the original, you only get Red at like the very end of the remake. So I'm still learning about him. So I'm like, okay, cool, talking lion. Let's see what you're about.
But is he a lion?
Right, right. I don't know.
You know?
This is all new to me, and it's been really cool because I think it's really awesome that this is a game that you can come to as someone who is a huge Final Fantasy fan or Final Fantasy VII fan or someone completely new.
Who's not, yeah.
I don't feel like I'm, you know, like, because I didn't play the first, I'm missing things. I feel like it's very well done.
It's cool. It's cool. I also love Cloud's character, but I'd never be able to play Cloud.
That would be a stretch.
I used to try to, like, voice match Cody all the time.
Please try.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun.
Whenever I see Cloud, all I can hear is the...
Yeah.
And then you see the hair in the eyes.
And he's just like all the time. I'm like, stop sighing.
He does.
But it works for his character, you know?
It does.
I mean, it's so unique.
You know, it's like, you can't hear the planet crying out. Get help. You know, it's just the simple cuts. Cody's got it locked down.
He's
killing
it. Cuts, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But Cody's got it locked down. And to do wordplay against him and with him, and he's brilliant. It's fun. We got a great cast.
So then, did you get to record with him? I was wondering.
Sounds
the way
like
you're
it,
talking.
It? Yeah.
It sounds like you did.
No, I wish. I wish we did an ensemble.
That's so
hard. It's just so much
God.
To do. Yeah, there's just so
it
much,
is a lot.
So many
wow.
lines and.
Yeah.
Like, there have been times where you can hear them in your ear, or you can hear the other characters in your ear, and you get to respond.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's a big world. And even for the tech to find it, you know, he'd say, I have to go to this reel to get this, and it's just hard.
Yeah.
You know, and you got the translators right there, and you have to get out a bunch of – had a set amount of things that we had to get done within whatever time we were stationed, 4 hours, 2 hours, to get them done. We had to get that much leeway ahead of the game so that we were on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jeez.
I always like asking because the only video game I've done is Life is Strange, and they –
Good
like,
game.
Thanks.
Good it's game.
Fun. Is fun stuff.
She plays three characters in it.
Nice.
You
gotta tell me which ones they are.
Oh, I voice Kate Marsh, Alyssa, and Juliet.
Go ahead, girl. I love it. You got arsenal. You got different tonation. I love it.
Listen, the only thing stopping all of us from being on a cartoon right now is my inability to animate. I can figure out some little stick figures, we're all making voices together because
find somebody to do it, we need to find someone.
Dear listeners, if anyone would like to make us
anime.
A stick figure animation, we have voice actors interested. Thank you so much.
There you go. You know what, I had a friend do this when I was younger and it just tripped me out. They would get, you know, the little action figures, and change their clothes,
like,
or change their heads. And they would give them different voices just because of the copyright. And they would give them different voices. And they did little animation like that.
Like little stop motion.
And sometimes it was just, they would film from the waist up and you would just
like
see
puppets?
Them
like
puppets? Yep.
Oh.
It was, yep. And they would. They
not
would
even
just,
stop motion.
But it was clever. It was funny, you know? And
it's like, what is it? Action League Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, literally.
Okay. You got the wheels turning. I have
ideas. Man, it's COVID time. You got to get them juices flowing.
Yeah.
Got to find different ways to do different things. That's what I love. That's the one thing I do love about what's happened to us in isolation and not being able to go places we would normally go. You've got to come up with different solutions. You've got to come up with new ideas. And some people have been innovative. And I've said from the beginning, out of this pandemic, there are going to be millionaires born. There are going to be innovators created because we've got to think of a different way to cater to what's needed or the masses or what's desired. You know what I mean?
So, John. Nathan.
Yes.
I have a question. What... If you could choose any show or franchise to work on, what would, like, that's like current, what would you, like, what would your, what are your hopes and dreams?
As far as What genre? Television, film,
voiceover? I mean, I was thinking TV, just since more people know it, but it doesn't matter.
Mm.
If anything comes to mind that you're like, man, like,
I don't.
Vikings is a very specific funny show that, like, I know a few people that are like really hardcore comedians that they're like, man, we should work on Vikings. I'm like, yep, too bad it's a Canadian show.
Right.
Norsemen. Not Vikings.
I got you.
Vikings
got you.
Is a whole different thing.
I was like, Vikings is not funny.
Like, Vikings is not funny. Mm-hmm.
I honestly would love to do a show like Game of Thrones. Because
high fantasy.
A lot
I
of
honestly
don't...
would love to see you on a high fantasy like Game of Thrones.
I'd love to do that. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love shows like that, the Harry Potter thing, you know. Although J.K. is doing some things right now. Oof, I'm not quite understanding. But
Hermione wrote the books. She doesn't exist. It's fine.
You know, so I just, like, there were Kushites during that time. And there were also a lot of Vikings who were actually people of color, black. There are a lot of folks who, when Hannibal conquered, there are a lot of folks who came out of that. There were, you know, people of color. So I would love to do something epic like that. I just, mm-hmm. I love that, you know. I think Peter Dinklage is one of the baddest dudes in the world.
Oh, my God, I wish I could act with him. He's literally one of the best actors. I love him so much.
For me, just a solid project. Something that is going to not just be... A one episode or a one season deal.
So maybe something epic like a franchise like Final Fantasy.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, that would be awesome. You know, I think I'd have to get bigger if I was going to play Barry.
Yeah, but you're already big though, and you're already getting in shape.
I'm tall, and I'm in pretty good shape.
Barry is a machine gun for your arm. So
oh, that's easy. I got friends in London that can make that for me. You know, so I've met a lot of people from KupoCon that just unbelievable cosplayers. The cosplayers that I meet are just like, ooh. Oh, and I don't even realize. I'm so like, good. Are those your real eyes? Or that's, you know, it's just so good. And some of them are so cool and good looking and just phenomenal people. And so, yeah. You know, something epic like that that would last, you know.
I feel that.
Mm-hmm. I would love that.
I feel that. And I feel that for you. And I feel like the next time we speak, you should be confirmed for one of those shows.
Please
and thank you to the powers that be. John, thank you so much for coming on Gaming and Gabbing.
Oh, girl, you got it. Anytime. Is you, Amber?
This is awesome. I would just like sit back and listen. I'm like, I'll listen to you talk about anything. Let's
go. It's all good. Thank you very much. That's
the velvet voice of John Eric.
Velvet voice, and then like everything you say is so inspiring. I'm just like, I'm inspired to go do things.
Hey man, you're already in the business, so you gotta just keep one step at a time, keep going forward and keep doing more projects, and you're in there. I hope to work with you one day. That'd be so cool to be in the studio.
That'd be
just
so good.
Or same project. You too, Amber.
I
know you do on camera like crazy, but man, you know, the voice realm.
We're gonna work together, John. I don't really know when. It just feels like a thing that's gonna need to happen because I feel like the characters that you and I get cast as belong in the same movie.
I can see that.
I see that.
I definitely see that. Yeah, I can see that. Totally.
I don't really know what that means, you guys, but I just feel it.
Bodyguard 2.
Bodyguard number 2. Where can they keep the conversation going with you, John, online? How can they support you? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I think it's under
at
my
John
name.
John Eric Bentley on Twitter and on Instagram. Is it John Eric Bentley on Instagram or is it?
I don't know if it's John Bentley or John Eric Bentley.
He's active on both, especially Twitter. Please send him all your love, or you can see him at the next KupoCon after this pandemic is over. Who knows?
Man, goodness gracious.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You are going to be right before the one and only Brianna White.
Breezy! That's my Breezy!
So if you guys are around, next episode we will have another Final Fantasy VII Remake actor. Her name is Brianna White. She voices Aerith.
Cool. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you both so much.
Yeah, Thank you for coming
on. Thank you. This is awesome. I'm so glad I got to meet you. I had a great time. Alrighty, it's that time of the show where we have a nerd, and I make up a new song every week. Guys, it's Nerd of the Week time. This time, it's a little bit, lot of bit different than what we've been doing. So we've had cosplayers and makeup artists and writers and streamers. This is a bridal shop. But it's very special.
How did we get here?
It's very a special bridal shop in my heart because it's where I purchased my very own wedding dress. I found this bridal shop out of the blue completely by chance. It is called Lorien Bridal. And yeah, Lorien, like there's like a forest in Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry. My Lord of the Rings lore is lacking. I apologize. But also the owner's name is Amanda. So she signs her emails Manda and it's Mandalorian. And I can't.
Amazing.
I literally can't. She is this amazing woman who opened a bridal shop. She is a cosplayer herself, lover of all things geeky, and so she wanted to make a place for geeky brides to come to. Of course, you can go if you're not nerdy as well, but as a nerd, you will appreciate her themed dressing room spaces.
I'm sorry. Back it right the fuck up.
Themed dressing room spaces.
What does that mean? We've got... Is it like a haunted house?
So there's four different dressing rooms, and they each have their own little sections, and they all have their own theme. There is a Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Disney Princess, and Star Wars.
Oh, all right? Smart to do the Disney Princess. I see you.
Yeah. There's little nerdy bits all over the store. Her business cards are held by an action figure of an Ent from Lord of the Rings. She's got a little Hodor doorstop at the front door. There's
a
police box door to the bathroom. Like, it's just wonderful. And she's just the nicest, nerdiest human. If you are in the market for a wedding dress and you're a nerd, go here. Like, why would you go, like, anywhere else?
Please? Or, you know, if you're a costumer and you need a nice gown, check it out, too. This store looks incredible. I really wanted to mention this because not only did Day have a good experience there, we are not getting paid to talk about this. She has no idea we're talking about her. I just thought it was really, really cool to see a small business not only cater to the nerd market, but really get creative with the detail to the point that no one can compete with that. It's so unique.
Yeah, she even mentioned, like, if you guys want to come to your appointment in cosplay, like, let me know. Like, that's totally fine. Let me know. Maybe I'll dress up with you. Like, it's really a fun experience. She's really delightful. I cannot recommend her enough.
She's festive. She's fun. She's nerdy. Please go check out Lorien Bridal. I love it. Thank you for that fine day.
You're welcome.